Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment as we reflect on your word. Let the meditation of our heart be pleasing to you, Lord, and reveal to us as we ponder what it means to us, the situation we are in. Lord, people see our faces, our outlook appearance, but you see deep within us. So you know exactly what is going through. So speak to us and help us to find comfort and even joy in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I looked at the lectionary with the readings, I had a great temptation not to look at these things and just look at some kind of parable in a Jesus thing, because that would be easy, because it's a well-known things. And I just thought, no, I'm not going to turn away. I'm rebel in my nature. So I just thought, I'm going to tackle this in a way that what God has to say. And I never preached in Job, actually. I always shy away from it. I thought I can just tackle this one. What does this mean for us? I heard someone said in a humorous conversation, a guy was having humorous conversation with God. It's just imagination. So this is the story, goes like this. Jimmy said to God, God, how long a million years to you? And God said, it is but a second for me. And Jimmy said, God, how much is $1 million to you? And God said, it is but a penny to me. And Jamie cheekily said, God, can I have a penny? And God answered back, just a second. We have lots of questions in our life, don't we? We have lots of questions that we don't get an answer. Some of them are very difficult questions, like, whom should I marry? What career should I pursue? How can I have a happy marriage? Good luck with that. How should I raise my children? How can I know the will of God? So these are the questions always come to us. And the even bigger question, right? It's a common question, is why questions? If you have a children at home, especially if you got a 2 years old or something, they always ask why. I don't know who taught them. I didn't. And if you ask them to get a glass of water, why? Don't touch the fire, why? Don't hit your brother in the face, why? Why is always comes. But on a serious note, when we go through difficult times, we ask why question too, don't we? Why me? This is the oldest question in all generations. Why me? Why my kids? Why my marriage? Why 6 million Jews in the Holocaust? Why now? Why in people in Ukraine? Innocent children. Because of political gain, some leaders make a decision why children have to go through. Why do bad things happen to good people? Good old questions. Why do I have to see my parents go through cancer or Alzheimer's? Why, God, did you allow our precious child to suffer like this? Why did you not intervene? What have I done to deserve this? We ask whether or not God is really interested in you or really cares. Have you felt that way before? Yeah, everybody asks those questions. In scripture, many great men and women of God experienced these type of questions and emotions. You see, this morning I am not going to talk about why we suffer. Because there are times we suffer because we deserve the things that we, the consequences of the decision that we make. But there are times we suffer for no reason. Yeah? And that's true. But I'm not going to talk about why we suffer, but I will be focusing on what happens as Christians when we suffer and how we overcome with God's help. That's my main focus on. And I'm going to first clip there. Here we are. And I'm going to reflect through this Job. But before we go through Job, next clip please. And I want you to see this passage that came to me. I don't know why that next clip please. In Hebrews chapter 5 verse 8 to 9. So it isn't there. But anyway, if you have a Bible, you could see. Oh, here we go. It says, although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. And I just thought, this is too deep for me. This Hebrew, what does that mean when we say, I thought we can talk about suffering. Why do we suffer? These are the questions that we can tackle. And then this passage pumped up to me. It says, although he was a son of God, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation. For me, the question is, he says he learned obedience. Is that meaning he was disobedient before? He says he made perfect. Does that mean he was imperfect before? That question that I can't. How? Because the scripture tells us he was perfect in every way. He was blameless in every way. He was fully obedient to Christ, to his Father. So how does that, he learned obedience. And I was researching that. And then I just thought, the John Piper that comes out like this. Actually, he's not moving from disobedience to obedience. Actually, he was moving from obedient to tested and proven obedience. Do you get that? He was moving from obedience to tested and proven obedience. Moving from perfect in tested and perfect, complete perfectness. If it's a word there, perfectness, is that the right word? No, it's not. Complete perfect. That's what we go through. Moving from obedient to tested and proven obedient. That's what Jesus went through. And that's why, through suffering. Because there's nowhere else we can learn these things unless we go through this suffering. And that's why we don't look for pain. We don't look for suffering. It comes to you, whether you like it or not, in one way or another. But how you respond to it, it makes a difference. And that's why Peter, in 1 Peter, says, therefore, Christ suffered in the flesh. Arm yourself with the same intention, with the same attitude. So how do we do that? Let's look at Job. Now I give you the little background of how Jesus learned obedience. Now look at the story of Job. It's a bit of intriguing for me. And the scholars tells us that Job is one of the oldest scripture, oldest book in the Bible. Job is a Hebrew poem. And this scripture, this book, the book of Job, tackles these well-old questions like why innocent people suffer. Why bad things happen to good people. It tackles and wrestles hard. You see, the person Job can be identified with every man and woman. At least in the book's portrayal of the misfortunes that he faced. This is the benefit of those who missed the Sunday school in your young age. You see, the book of Job is consists of 42 chapters. If you want to be depressed, leave the first chapter, leave the 42nd chapter, go through the in the middle. You will be rightly depressed. But it's also profound meaning in it, in life. It sets the sins like it gives you what is like just Job. He's presented with a richest man in the Middle East. Deeply religious, blameless, and upright. And he feared God and shunned evil. So you can almost portray as a perfect man on earth. As the story opens up, Job is the subject of a conversation between God and Satan. Now they talk about him and say, Satan said to God here, hey, I've been around the earth, I noticed somebody. Oh, right, okay, I know whom you're going to talk about. Yeah, I know, Job. But have you seen him? How wonderful he is, blameless in everything that he does. And Satan, interestingly, come up with this reason. I wonder why. I wonder why he's being blameless. I wonder why he's so good to you. I wonder why he's so nice to you. He always honors you. You know why? Because he's got a sheltered life. You put a hem around him. It's almost like it's a transactional relationship he's got. You're good to him, so he's good to you. So what's the point? What is special about you? You blessed him, and he's, in fact, he blesses you back. And he's almost saying, he's only using you. Satan saying, he doesn't love you for who you are. He only loves you because what you've given to him. So, God gave him a permission. And then he started knocking away his supporting foundations of Job's happiness. He lost everything. His children, his wealth, his servants, his reputation, and his friends. And he experienced despair, isolation from God. Sometimes we all go through those kind of feeling, despair and isolation. It's like almost God is against you feeling like. So what do we learn through this? Through Job? And what happens when we go through suffering? When we look at Job's lifestyle, the first thing is a dependence. It brings you, when you go through this suffering, when you go through this isolation, it brings you a depend on God. Yeah? Until then, we think, we know, we can control things. Until then, we can plan our future. Until something else happened. Things takes other way around, the turns in your life. Unexpected things happen to us. A lump in a breast. An accident. A sports injury. Or losing loved ones. And suddenly we are reminded of our mortality. And say, is God watching this? Where is God in this? And I love Book of Psalms. Book of Psalms is so raw and real when I read that. It's a psalm of prayer. It's not theologically perfect. In some of the prayer that you read in Psalms, it's not theologically perfect. The way they say, like, Lord, in Psalm chapter 13, he comes out like David cries out, how long, Lord, will you forget me? How long, Lord, will you cover your face from me? In Psalm 39, it says, turn away from me, Lord, so that I may have peace before I die. And then in Psalm 88, it says, you know what? I have no friends. Everybody left. The darkness is my closest friend. Can you see that? These Psalms all comes out with a kind of like a range of emotions. The only friend I got is my darkness. I tried to find, even Job was saying, if I go to the west, you are not there. If I go to the east, I can't find you. Or south, or north, nowhere left to be found. Where are you, Lord? I catch no glimpse of you. Job can't find God in his darkness. So you see, if I could find the judge, I can say my problems. I can tell what's going on in my life, but I can't find the judge. How do I bring my petition? And I also wonder why this kind of prayers in the Bible? Why this kind of prayers in the Bible? This is not theologically correct, right? God is everywhere. He cares for you. It feels like they are praying like as if God is against me. And why this prayer in the Bible? People wrestled with the problem and realized there is no answer for why people suffer. But only thing is though, they were acknowledging for who God is and depending on his grace. And that's what happens. Even Job, he was realizing, I don't know, because it's a old fashioned thinking, when you suffer, that means you must have done wrong. You must have done something terribly wrong. That's why you are suffering. But not, it's always the case. And God said, even though Job prayed terrible prayer, and God honors his prayer. Do you know why? Because he still prayed to God. Sometimes you don't know how to pray to God because you lose words. You can't describe how you feel. But the thing is, you still pray to God. And that's what is important. He still brought his complaint to God. And that's important for us. He said, that's a good learning for us. That's what Jesus asked Peter. Hey, everybody left me. Why are you not leaving me? And he said, where else I can go? You got eternal life, right? And this is what I got. You are my only hope. And that's why I'm clinging on to you. That's why I'm praying to you. When I came to first time 24 years ago, came to a cliff, very first time, I was very unprepared. And I came as my own when God told me, go and study Bible college. And I just chose one place. Something come along my way. And I say, one friend told me, come and study at Cliff College. I don't know where it is. And I not even looked at in the map. Let me tell you, I'm not very good at in geography. I not even looked at what England is and what it's like. So I turned up in almost like in the middle of the night on a plane. And somebody who I never met is going to pick me up from Manchester Airport. The first thing that I didn't realize, it's cold place. I arrived in the middle of October. I came with a nice suit on, with the shorts and t-shirts, you know, things that you come normally when you go to Caribbean holiday. That's what you do. So I arrived in the middle of the, somebody just held my name in the airport, and I followed him, and he dropped me one place. It's called Cliff College. I landed in the room. I don't know what to say. I was speechless. I don't know where to start. And it was very cold. And I slept on that first night with my suit on. It was so cold. And it went on for a week. And I was so cold. And I just thought it's a one-off thing, that being cold in England. I didn't know it's a 360 days, it rains and cold. But I stayed in there. For a week it took me, why am I so feel cold? And especially nighttime. I was sleeping on my bed with my suit on and a few jumpers on until my next door neighbor, he was ill, and I went to see him, and he didn't come out of the same like me. He was isolated, and I just saw him, and he was sleeping in his bed with the under the duvet. Until then, I didn't know I have to go under the duvet to sleep. I didn't know because we all sleep just top of the bed. We don't go under the bed, you know, under the duvet because it's nicely folded. I didn't know I have to go underneath. And also, okay, cold. Okay, I started to figure out. But the food. I was desperately looking for rice. And then they caught jacket potatoes. It doesn't look like cooked, you know, jacket potatoes. I don't know what to do with it. And there's lots of green vegetables. It's not cooked. Salad, it's called. And you have to eat. And I hardly went and eat food there. I don't go to mess. And I, you know, my good friend, he still is my friend, is a pot noodles. You know, I got a pot noodle. My friend gave me, they introduced me to the pot noodle, and I still hold on to my niche next to my chest. Because that's my survival ingredients. And it was there, and I survived for a month, almost. I don't eat food. I felt so lonely. I thought I can speak English, but nobody understood. And I couldn't communicate with people. And I was so lonely in that place. But one thing I knew is I was following God's, asked me to do things, and I'm following God's way. That's all I knew, nothing else. I never left India. I never left even my state. Never mind leaving country. And there, in my desperation, I just started this pattern of praying to God. Say, I put the chair in my friend, in front of me in my bedroom, and I just said, Lord, come and sit there. I want to cry out to you. Because nobody understands what I'm going through. I want to cry out to you. I want you to come and sit in the table, on the chair. I want to speak to you face to face. That's how I prayed. You know what? Even though sometimes it looks silly, but I cried out to God in that way. And I prayed like this, where is my God of my father? Because I grown up in a family, it's a Christian family, and my father is a pastor, and you got everything there, and you are sheltered life, and you just enjoy whatever you want, and you can get it. My whole village know who I am, and I can't get it things wrong. You are one of the seen as a saint there. But I lived a life wonderfully there, but when I came out of that place, lived here, nobody know me who I am, except I'm a student, but not know where to start. But I prayed, Lord, I don't know why I'm here. I want to go back home. Take me back. I can't survive. And that's all I see, people are just white and nobody there. And everybody, nobody wearing saris or things that I wear. It's so different culture. I want to go back home. But that prayer though, God started to answer me. Even the small little things like when I was praying, Lord, I feel cold, what do I do? And then while I was praying, somebody would knock on the door and say, hey, just I wanted to give you a jumper, just because I felt like that you need to have. And I just like, oh, the little things showed me the glimpse of, hey, God does care. Even in the small little things, just gives you the little glimpse. God, listen to your prayer. Even in your darkness, and you are in your loneliness, he says, you are away from that place, but this is where you are going to grow. And you are going to depend on me fully. So I am going to guide you through this time. All the way through. Here I am, 24 years later. I got a great family. And an English wife, which I never thought that I would have. All those things God has given me, bit by bit, he showed me the glimpse of his goodness every step I take. That is what happens when you go through this darkness. You learn to depend on God. The second thing that he knows is you get deeper. Because the second thing deeper is important bit. Because the deeper is something that you don't. In Romans chapter 5 verse 3 to 4 it says, we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Yeah? Because this is the strength that we get. Suffering produces endurance. It makes you stronger. If you look at the people, the overcomers aren't necessarily more educated or more talented than you are. They are just more persistent. That's what it is. They push beyond the point which others quit. And they just keep going. Have you heard this redwood tree in America? Have you heard the redwood tree before? Apparently, this is the tallest tree in the world. Tallest tree in the world. And you would think this tallest tree don't go through any difficulties. It's sheltered in a nice way. And it grows big and big and big. Apparently it grows, it's a 300 meters high. The reason they grow is, if you take that plants and put it in a very sheltered garden, apparently it doesn't grow. It go through all the struggles that you can imagine. Every year they face fire. And they go through the heavy wind and the lightning strikes because it's tall. All those things can help them to grow taller. Because the fire constantly comes, they learn to grow as fireproof, and also they germinate things in a way that it becomes a source of their life. And through fire, they shatter the seeds and they grow as a group. And when the lightning strikes, also it becomes a germinate source, enrich the soil. I just wondered, if this tree can grow that tall, the only reason is because it goes through all the troubles it's been through. That's why it makes it strong. Our life also, if you want to be a better Christian, when the suffering comes, don't give up, because God working in you. None of your tears, none of your sufferings is a waste of time. Let me tell you, all those things has got a purpose and a meaning. And God helps you and builds you up as a better Christian. God doesn't take away your problems sometimes and our difficulties, but He promises to be with you when you walk through the fire, when you walk through the water. He will be with you and gives you the strength to cope with it. And that's why it happens when you go through those sufferings. And my final thing is, when we go through the sufferings, you discover new things. You discover new things. Because that's another thing that you don't discover unless you go through those darkness. You discover about God in a way that you never experienced before. You discover that He is closer than you thought. Closer than you think. And you also discover that He's always on time, even though He's always late. You think, why God doesn't do it now? He's always on time. That's what you discover. I just thought one picture, somebody told me about this bird's nest. Apparently some birds, you know, when they look after their chicks in a little closed things that makes to it, they are very comfortable and they put lots of little things. But when the time comes to fly, they disturb the nest. Because if they don't disturb the nest, they are happy to sit in there. Happily, they can go to sleep. So they take it to make sure they are uncomfortable in that nest so that they can learn to fly. Sometimes God does that too. Because sometimes we are in the nest that we are happy, cozy little church, and daily, weekly times you come and do what exactly need to be done and go back home. But when it started to disturb things, it is more than just attending the Sunday morning service, being a Christian. God just revealed to you, hey, I'm here to teach you to fly. The way that I've created you to be, you are going to fulfill that purpose. Don't settle for the second best. You may think it's comfortable in that little nest, but unless you learn to fly, you don't discover things. Is that true? God will reveal to you in a way that, wow. But it doesn't feel like it when you're going through that moment. But when you come at the end, yes, Lord, I can see. In the darkness, God help you to discover. I'm going to finish up the little story there. When we got wonderfully married, and I'm glad I can talk about my son here. When we married, And I was so happy because we went back to India. That's what I planned for. We went back to India, and that's my agreement that I went with my wife when we said, I'm going to marry you, but we are going to live in India. So that's what we went there, and we lived a wonderful life there for 8 months. And then God disturbed my nest, which I didn't like it. But anyway, we came here to attend my wife's sister's wedding. As a little, nice little thing, let's go back and see everybody and say everything. And we came back, and then my wife was pregnant. 4 months, right? She was 4 months pregnant. And she was there, and okay, let's enjoy the wedding. But while we were enjoying the wedding, a midwife turned up to our house and say, hey, while we are here, why don't we do a scanning for you? We'll let you do a scan because the baby is good in health. And then they discovered there's something wrong with the baby. Not just wrong, it's lots of things wrong. I mean, it's a huge. It's called something that people, it's not curable. That's what they found out. So, we went as if it's a normal little scan that we can just happy little baby. I was looking forward to be a daddy for the first time and things. And then they took us in the hospital in a very little dark room. And they said, me and my wife, and said, hey, we are going to give you an option. They said, what option? The option is, we don't do it normally in England. We can terminate the baby now and then, now. Because it's not worth having the baby. That's what they said. It's not worth having the baby because the problem the baby got, it's not curable. And you have to go through lots of difficulties in order to make this baby better. And generally, not many children would survive because you had to go through the 3 huge operations. And open heart surgery, one is when he's 1 week old, and then 6 months old, and then 6 years old. So generally children don't survive. Even if they survived all the odds, the children don't eat well, they don't live a normal life. That's what they told us. So while you're still looking young, you can have more babies. So why don't you terminate the baby? That's what they told us. And you know what, when we were there in that little dark room, I felt like what Job felt. The darkness was my closest friend. And we wish I can see God saying, God, tell me what to do. And I'll do it. We God say, hey, I'm going to heal this baby. Don't worry. But we know, as in a little dark room, we said, what God has given us, we are going to hold on to it and see what happens. And God will give us the strength when we have to go through. And we did that, hold on to it. And I wasn't, meanwhile, until she gave birth, I was desperately praying because I believe in God. God can do miracles, right? I believed, God, you can do the miracle. And I was desperately hoping, even the last minute when the baby come out, when they do the scanning, and I would discover that the heart is sorted itself out. That's what I wanted to hear. But I didn't. The day that took me and the baby come out and took the things and checked it, and exactly what they hoped, the still problem exists. My heart crushed. Obviously, I was so excited to try and see the baby, but then I know the baby had to go through. But now, we just had a 16th year's birthday for my son. And they called him in the hospital saying, it's a miracle baby. Yeah? What I learned in this, that discovered that, sometimes we ask God to do a miracle in a particular way, and he doesn't. But if he did, I would have been wonderfully said, yes, thank God for the healing. And I would have now forgot it by now. I would have taken it for granted. But you know what happens? Every day is a reminder for me. My son's life, each day is God's grace. And each day is God's gift. Yes, he's healing him in a different way. Every day, not one off day. And that's the things that what we learn. You discover in a way that God heals and sustains you, that reminding of God's grace, moment by moment. Jesus experienced the darkness too. He knew the darkness was only friend. He cried out, Lord, if it is your will, if it's possible, can you take this cup away from me? He knew he had to die. But you know, that's the only way that he can rescue us. on the cross, he experienced darkness. He said, why God forsaken me? And through that darkness, he experienced darkness is the only friend, so that in your darkness, you can know that Jesus is still your friend. And that's exactly when we go through the darkness, remember, you discover something you never experienced before. And you'll discover God's grace you never experienced before, in a way that you wouldn't have otherwise. In Jesus Christ, God joined humankind in its suffering, both deserved and undeserved. That's a picture of the cross. There are three people. You can see one deserved and one not deserved. But both had, by God's grace, had the taste of God's kingdom in the end. The cross of Jesus Christ is that point in time and space where more than any other, God identified with the human sufferings and experienced it to its fullest extent. So let's hold on to that hope. When you go through what your difficulties that you are going through, there is a hope. And also, you can learn things. You learn to depend on God fully. You can go deeper with God. And you can discover things that you never experienced before. I'm going to bring you close to you. Why don't you take a time and ask God, Lord, you may be feeling darkness is my only friend. I can't find, I'm confused. The decision that I'm going to make. Nobody could understand what I'm going through. But Lord, help me. Because God can understand, because he's been through in every way that you are going through, so that he can comfort you. Not only he comforts you, you can also comfort others through this suffering. You learn to comfort others. That is the biggest discovery that you can find. When we go through the sufferings, we can learn to comfort other people who are going through suffering, who are going through pain. So Lord, I pray, Lord, this morning, in the name of Jesus, whatever the people are going through right now, you touch them and help them to realize you are in the midst of that darkness. Open their eyes to see where you are in that darkness. Because there is a hope in you. Every tears that we shed, every pain we go through, Lord, you are in the midst of it. And you are crying with us. And you are helping us to be the person that you want us to be. In the end, you are preparing us for eternal glory. Lord Jesus, be with the people. And you hear their cry. And you hear their pain. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.